Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Three Martini Lunch today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. More on that later in the podcast. We had yesterday, Jim, all good martinis. We're talking about ending out the year on a high note. We were hoping that in the next 24 hours, the world would only give us good news. Well, it gave us all of one thing today. All three are crazy. Not all good. All crazy today. And we start with the President of the United States and an exit interview he did with Rolling Stone. Here is Ed Morrissey writing for Hot Air. More than 3 weeks after Democrats got stomped at every level in the 2016 elections, Barack Obama still bitterly clings to Fox News as the reason for his undoing. In an interview with Rolling Stone publisher Jan Wenner, Obama said that media fragmentation has undermined national consensus. Having Fox News playing in every bar and restaurant made it more difficult for Democrats to connect to voters. Quote, "In this election, they turned out in huge numbers for Trump, and I think that part of it has to do with our inability, our failure to reach those voters effectively. Part of it is Fox News in every bar and restaurant in big chunks of the country, but part of it is also Democrats not working at grassroots level, being in there, showing up, making arguments." And then he, of course, goes and talks about himself, about how he won Iowa by reaching out to the grassroots. Jim, I don't spend a lot of time in bars. But I have been in them, and I know that for the most part, the volume's not up, unless it's a really quiet bar, and usually they're watching sports. So the idea that somehow people just happened to stumble into a bar and really got convinced by Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity to go out there and make America great again shows that Obama is tone deaf and just absolutely refuses to see that people don't like a lot of what's going on in America right now.
This is a further exhibition of the fact that Barack Obama has never really understood the people who disagree with him. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, separate from, you know, conceding the point, that he just doesn't understand them. And this goes all the way back to bitterly clinging to their guns and religion. I mean, he really doesn't understand why people disagree with him and what makes them, you know, come to different conclusions, why they have different beliefs. He doesn't really want to spend much time even trying to understand them. So he tends to latch onto whatever explanation gets him off the hook, lets him sit comfortably that, well, he's enlightened and understands everything, and these are poor, ignorant backwater slobs who don't understand anything. At the heart of it, you know, you point out, I do spend quite a bit of time in bars. No, a decent amount of time. And if you go to a sports bar like a couple, you may see one or two channels on the news channel if it's not a big, you know, NFL Sunday or something like that. And I do see it occasionally, you know, on Fox News. I've also been to other bars where they've had CNBC in case somebody wants to know how their stocks are doing. Down south near Hilton Head, you find the Weather Channel on bars a lot. I think people really worry about, is there a storm coming or things like that. So, yeah, it's on there. Greg, when you're in a bar, how often are you able to even hear what they're saying on the screen? In a bar is just about the worst possible place to watch something other than maybe football, and it's mostly visual, right? You can see what's going on, but due to the background noise, people talking, waiters, waitresses, all the other visual stimuli around yourself, that, like, you wouldn't go watch a movie in a bar, right? You really wouldn't want to do anything that required constant focus and attention. So this is really about, like, one step away from, like, black helicopters and mind control rays, this idea that, oh, you know, well, of course, all those people voted for Republicans. The bars and restaurants have Sean Hannity on all the screens, and he broadcasts mind control rays into them or something. This you know, also suggests he sees Fox News as this irredeemable, value-free propagandizing force. Greg, wasn't it like last week the president-elect denouncing the media was an assault on the First Amendment and, you know, an attack on an informed citizen? Like, wasn't that terrible like a day ago?
There's a lot of things that are terrible or not terrible now that were completely different 24 hours or 3 weeks ago, depending on the circumstances. First of all, depending on when you watch Fox, it wasn't exactly a Trump love fest from start to finish.
Apparently, everybody at the bar didn't pay attention to Megyn Kelly, I'm guessing.
Exactly. And it's just a shame there weren't other cable channels that exist out there that perhaps had a different perspective on things, yeah, that people had access to.
Do you think if the patrons really want, Hey, bartender, can you turn on Rachel Maddow? she's on now, and I got to hear the latest on, you know, the recount to foreshadow a future martini.
Exactly. But here's one more part of Obama's interview, just to show how solid of a grasp he has on America and our media. He says, the challenge is the technology is moving so fast that it's less an issue of traditional media losing money. The New York Times is still making money. NPR is doing well. Yeah, it's a nonprofit, but it has a growing audience. The problem is segmentation. We were talking about the issue of a divided country. Good journalism continues to this day. There's great work done in Rolling Stone.
Yes, the jury disagrees.
That's right. Rolling Stone just got socked for $3 million in damages for their malicious fabulism, is how Ed Morrissey describes it, regarding the University of Virginia and a rape hoax that Rolling Stone used to stoke a social panic about the rape culture epidemic on campuses. So Obama doesn't know what's on in the bars. He doesn't know what influence that has and doesn't have, and he thinks Rolling Stone is a paragon of accurate journalism. So it's good to see he's not out of touch.
Yeah. Good riddance. Farewell. Don't let the door hit you.
All right. Jim, there are obviously critical issues facing the incoming Trump administration. You've got spending issues. You've got dealing with Obamacare to come up with. You've got a lot of things out there that have to be dealt with. But fortunately, BuzzFeed is helping the Trump administration prioritize here, because they have really hit upon the most important story in our culture today. Here's the headline. Chip and Joanna Gaines' church is firmly against same-sex marriage. For those who don't know, Chip and Joanna Gaines host the show Fixer Upper on HGTV. It's one of the only shows on that channel that I can tolerate. My wife really likes the channel. Others I will maybe watch for a half hour, like House Hunters. But basically, HGTV found out that Chip and Joanna Gaines are Christians, and they go to Antioch Community Church in Texas. It's a non-denominational evangelical church, and they found out that the pastor there – hold on to your seat now, Jim. I hope you're sitting down. The pastor of this evangelical church is against gay marriage, and he thinks it's a sin. And now BuzzFeed and this author, Kate Arthur, is just all in a tizzy because they can't get confirmation from the Gaineses themselves about whether they're against gay marriage and whether they'd ever allow a gay couple to appear on their show. Jim, the vapors. Somebody might be a Bible-believing Christian out there.
Yeah, this has really stirred up a hornet's nest in the last day or two, mostly because this seems like a fairly transparent effort to gin up a giant social media outrage storm, battle stations, Category 5, you know, DEFCON 1, everybody pressure HGTV, demand the explain, you know, you must account for your pastor's views, HGTV hosts. Now, Greg, you alluded to this. I don't know about you, but if there's anything on HGTV that we're going to lead a protest against, I, for one, we need it to be House Hunters International, because you watch that show for like two or three episodes, and you suddenly understand that ISIS membership is apparently two-thirds foreign realtors who've had to deal with ugly American clients who want a low-cost, four-bedroom, gold-plated bathroom in downtown Paris that's not a walk-up. It's got to have an elevator, too. So, you know, they sit around, they can't decide. This one's not big enough. Oh, I don't like the view here. I'm ready to join an anti-American terrorist group by the end of the episode, so... I'm kidding, but let's face it. You know, you start to understand with people who hate Americans when you a little bit of that. But back to the Gaines and HGTV and BuzzFeed. Look, you know, so this, first of all, as you point out accurately, this is a fairly mainstream Christian viewpoint. And while society has become much more tolerant of gays and lesbians, gay marriage was ruled by the Supreme Court. Nobody wants to see hatred or discrimination or assaults on homosexuals. You know, this pastor's free to think what he wants to think, and he's free to preach what he wants to preach. And if he's not, then the First Amendment means nothing. And then somehow this idea of, oh, Gaines, you too must be held accountable for what your pastor thinks. And they, you know, they did not give a statement to BuzzFeed. I think they ignored BuzzFeed and basically told them to, you know, no pun intended, buzz off. And that basically BuzzFeed could not let this stand. This was an outrage. You know, we got to punish them. So today, like this is a remarkable new standard that you can be held accountable for what your pastor says, regardless of whether you believe it, and kind of implied in this BuzzFeed article as well. It's time for HDTV to be held accountable. It is time for them to answer tough questions about whether they would ever, you know, remodel the house of a gay couple, or you know, whether the decorations are sufficiently homosexual. I can't really understand. The subtext of the BuzzFeed piece was that we hate these people because they're evangelical Christians and they need to be punished. We cannot let them be successful. Their book's been on the bestseller list for 5 weeks. They have a store in which they sell home decor and gardening objects. The show's new season is starting. And I just this morning, I've you know, added my two cents to this public debate here, Greg, because my attitude was like, okay, if the new standard is you can be held accountable for what your pastor says about a topic like homosexuality, well, then Congressman Keith Ellison, Democrat of Minnesota, the lone Muslim in Congress, I decided to look up what his imam has to say about homosexuality. I know it's going to shock you, Greg. You better be sitting down for this one, but he too believes that it is unnatural, it is not what God intended, that it is not legitimate for a Muslim, and, you know, look, believe whatever you want to believe, think whatever you want to be a mom, but I don't understand why we have to hold the HGTV hosts accountable. But Keith Ellison, he's perfectly cool. Now, for what it's worth, Keith Ellison says he supports gay marriage, but you know, Keith Ellison wants to lead the Democratic Party. Isn't it fair to ask, does he agree with his imam on this? Has he discussed it with his imam? Will he publicly renounce or rebuke his imam for these viewpoints on homosexuality? Because, heck, he has a lot more say in constructing policy on these issues than two HGTV hosts. I've heard a lot. It's been crickets over at BuzzFeed, and I've yet to find a single Democrat, a single liberal activist, a single member of one of these outspoken gay, lesbian, right groups to say, yes, I really do think this is an issue to be concerned about. When it comes to Muslims and Muslim imams and their views on homosexuality, because it's two victim groups in the eyes of the left, we have to avert our eyes. We can't look at this. Jim, stop talking about this. That's basically the general response. So they're giant hypocrites. I here's the thing. Deep down, I don't care what the Gaines think about homosexuality. I don't care what their pastor thinks of homosexuality. I don't really care that much about what Keith Ellison thinks. Considering the giant liabilities he would probably present to the Democratic Party, please, Democrats, make this man your next national party chairman. I'm perfectly happy to live in a world in which everyone is free to believe what they want about homosexuality or any other issue, or I'm perfectly happy to live one in which this standard is applied across the board and Keith Ellison gets held as every bit as accountable as these two HGTV hosts. But you got to pick a standard. You got to pick one. You can't apply it one standard to the people you like and a completely different standard to the people you don't like. So don't hold your breath waiting for a response from BuzzFeed. But hopefully this will cause some consternation in Democratic ranks and folks like me. And you can expose the contradictions there and cause them more stress and headaches and sleepless nights.
Couple quick follow-ups. First of all, Jim, I'm old enough to remember that just 8 years ago, what the Democratic nominee thought compared to his pastor didn't matter.
Jeremiah Wright had no influence at all on what Barack Obama thought. By the way, this pastor in Texas has the exact same viewpoint that Bill and Hillary and Barack Obama had back in like 2009. So
right. The only thing I'll disagree with you on is, as much as I hate House Hunters International for all the reasons you described, I think Flip or Flop is my least favorite show on there. It's this couple out in California. They buy these properties sight unseen and then they go in because they've been foreclosed. And of course, they're completely trashed. And every time it's not perfect, they're completely shocked and stressed out the whole episode. And of course, they usually make money by the end of it. It just drives me crazy.
Tariq and Blondie. Yes. Oh, my goodness. The place has termites. I mean, one of these days, they're going to find like full alien hatching pods or something like that. You know, I can't believe we paid a whole $15,000 for this property. Yeah. So I exaggerate slightly, but yes. But here, isn't it interesting, you know, Greg, neither one of you, if people came up to you and said, are you an HGTV watcher? I assume you'd say no.
Right.
I would say no. When my parents visit, it's on all the time. And now, like, I have no idea what
shiplap.
Shiplap. Shiplap apparently is now like there's a national shiplap shortage because of the show. All right. I thought it was like sitting in a sea captain's lap or something like that or something. But no, it's completely different. And apparently these things are remarkably, like, I hate having opinions on interior decorating to begin with. And now all of a sudden, it's not just like a now all of a sudden, HGTV is the measuring stick of whether you have socially appropriate viewpoints. So maybe I'll join the anti-American real estate customer jihadist groups out there at this rate. So,
well, if any of you folks have a pool out there saying that Greg and Jim are going to spend 5 minutes talking about programming on HGTV today, congratulations. You probably really won big today.
Hey, they're not a sponsor, are they, Greg?
No, they're not. They're not. But if HGTV ends up having to find some new hosts, they might be in the hiring process. So the question is, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you got to post the job on all the top job sites, and that takes forever. But now you can do it very easily.
With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses to find the right hire. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Take all the work out of it. Let ZipRecruiter do the work for you. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. All right, on to the crazy Martini number three now, Jim. And this one's kind of a doubleheader. It's back to the Jill Stein recount. As far as we can tell, she's pretty much been stymied in Pennsylvania because she can't read a calendar. A judge in Wisconsin refused to order hand recounts. They're leaving it up to the local officials. And Michigan is probably going to do a recount here soon as well. But one of the odd parts of this, of course, is that Hillary Clinton has officially signed on to the recount challenge, even though all of her top people are saying, oh, we really don't think it'll change anything. We just want to make sure that everything is properly counted. But now the HillaryClinton.com website, the campaign website, is now asking for volunteers in Michigan for the recount. So maybe they actually have more of a hand in this than they're admitting publicly. The other thing that's going on here, Jim, and we see this from time to time, is basically bullying of the electors who are going to be meeting later this month to officially vote on the next president of the United States. And here's the Politico story on that from Kyle Cheney. Anti-Trump forces are preparing an unprecedented assault on the Electoral College, marked by a wave of lawsuits and an intensive lobbying effort aimed at persuading 37 Republican electors to vote for a candidate other than Donald Trump. It's a bracing stress test for an institution that Alexander Hamilton envisioned as a safeguard against popular whims and a direct challenge to the role that the Electoral College has evolved to play in picking the president. Constitutional rubber stamp. Behind the overt anti-Trump push is a covert agenda. If the courts establish that individual electors can switch allegiances, supporting candidates other than those who win their states, it would inject so much uncertainty into the process that states may be willing to junk the Electoral College in favor of a popular vote winner. So basically, the same people who were just apoplectic that Trump might not immediately accept the results are openly trying to destroy the system that elects the president of the United States as enshrined in our Constitution. And instead of being appalled as if Trump were, like the reaction to Trump alleging millions of illegal votes in the past few days, the media seems perfectly okay just chronicling this as some sort of fascinating development rather than somebody trying to hijack the system.
Yeah, I was about to say, if the roles were reversed, if there was near universal assessment that the Democratic candidate had won and had won solidly, that the closest margin in any one of these states was more than 10,000 votes, which is more than you've ever seen flipped in any recount ever by a factor of at least, I'm going to say 20, I want to say. I think they had like 500 or so in one of the recounts in either Minnesota or maybe up in Washington State or one of the ones, I'm not sure which one I'm thinking of. But basically, you do see a couple hundred votes flip in statewide recounts, but that's, much closer margin than what we have here. That if this was a circumstance and Republicans were pushing for a recount of three states simultaneously, and, one of the states, the margin was in the close neighborhood of 65,000 votes, you're not going to suddenly, not even Al Franken's trunk of his car can hold that many votes. That basically the Democrats would say this is an egregious waste of time and resources. The person calling for it is running a ridiculous scam. This is a waste of time, a waste of energy. This is sore losers trying to throw sand into the gears of the Democratic Party. Because we did see this. We saw it all right before the election when everybody thought Donald Trump was going to lose. So I kind of feel like there's been some mockery of Jill Stein. There's been a general universal recognition that this recount isn't going to change anything. I think there was a quote I saw, which was fun, about Wisconsin recount, where they said, well, this isn't exactly Bush versus Gore. No, it's not. You're talking about, I want to say, something in the neighborhood of like 25,000 votes is the margin there. You're not going to find that in the recount. And so it's not really going to change anything. So why are we doing this? Why, apparently they're going to have to do these crazy round-the-clock shifts and everybody, you know, looking for volunteers and, you know, why are we doing it? Well, this is basically a giant national exercise in denial by frustrated liberals who cannot believe that they possibly could have lost a race. And I kind of feel like they're getting a great deal more sympathy than they would have been on the other side. And I think it's an indication that most of the people who are most shocked by this election have learned very little so far in the week since about recognizing and treating both sides fairly and even-handed and seeing reality for what it is instead of being in a happy little bubble of denial.
Yeah, the left always keeping their emotions under control and thinking rationally. That's what they've come to be known for. We'll leave it there. Hopefully it's not all crazy tomorrow, but you never know. The way this year's...
Before we move on, Greg, I just want to put out one last idea, and maybe the good folks at HGTV could use ZipRecruiter to find us to do this. Don't you, Greg, am I crazy, but there could actually be a really fantastic show they could do featuring, I'm going to guess, Mrs. Columbus and Mrs. Garrity actually picking out things for home decor. And it'd be called, you know, Greg and Jim, and we just go and say, oh, that looks good. That's fine. But what do you think? It's good, you know. Well, how do you describe it? It's blue, you know. Well, is it like more of an azure or more of a cerulean blue? It's a kind of a medium blue, you know, just an endless series of you and I not having particularly strong opinions about it and being fine. And whatever you say, Andy, it's going to look great. And, you know, just wondering about how large a big screen TV we can put in the den, because that's what we're actually going to be looking at in the house most of the time.
I think that'd be a fascinating show. Yeah, you spend about 45 to 50 minutes of the show of them going to different stores, finding good bargains and putting it all together. And then in the last segment, we would come back to our respective houses and say, yeah, looks good.
And they always come in and they're amazed and their jaws are on the floor and they're saying they love it. And you and I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. It looks good.
That's what I'm really waiting for on HGTV. Every time, like you just said, they're just overwhelmed and they love every single detail. There's never anything they would have done differently. Just once I want to see a client come in and go, this is awful. You're terrible.
Yeah. This is a bad idea. You're terrible. Yeah. No, we could call the show Greg and Jim Think It's Okay.
HGTV, I hope you're listening.
There you go.
Oh, fantastic. Very, very good. Jim, talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Columbus of Radio America, reminding you to head to ZipRecruiter. Our listeners can post any job openings on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.